and we needed all this work down here. And everybody loved Gary, and no doubt about that. He was just, and so we come down here. There was even the telephone people, the telephone guy come in there and put extra wire, all that wire in there for all the different telephones there and stuff like that, all on his own.
Huh.
We went and we drilled holes, put up these things, all the sheetrock. Junior Johnson did all the thing over here, hanging by his teeth, you know, up in here.
Oh,
like
I know.
And then we had that hole in there behind where the rug is.
Yep.
Crawled in over there, that space in there. And yeah, and then when your dad made the thing for the window, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we and drilled all that stuff, dug all the stuff in there. And Mike was working as a lineman then. He came up and dug all the holes over there to put the power in. Larry Gordon come up, he wired most of the box.
Uh-huh.
God, I can't remember the names. We were falling all over each other.
Wow.
You know, but we had so much stuff up here, and luckily, your dad had all the geodetic things all in
uh-huh.
by that time, you see.
Uh-huh.
And so, and John Eddy was here, of course, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was great. No, we were so proud of this all the time. Everybody brought food down to your mom and stuff like this and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I woke your mother up one time when somebody gave me a whole box of food stuff. And I know.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was 8 o'clock at night. She was in bed getting ready to do the paper in the morning. And I insisted about coming over and giving her this stuff. She said, all right, come on over. Met me at the door, took that sheet, went right back to bed. Yeah. Yeah, no, you were a little tight then. You used to play with the kids down there, with Sam and
Banana.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're wonderful kids too. They're great.
Yep.
And Anna's still trying to find herself. Poor girl.
Yes, she is.
Well, she'll get out of it. What, she's 16? 16 now.
I think so.
And you what, 22?
I'm 20.
20?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I used to play right on the hill out there in front of the house all the time. You and the girl up and down the hill.
So,
I don't know what else to tell you about how much I love the island.
Let's see. Well, tell me about the fairies. I mean, you were here when the Nine Card Fairy was there. What?
Well, they. Let me tell you about the fairies.
Tell me about the fairies.
Okay, they had. Well, most of the cars didn't get in there. If it wasn't a truck or anything, it would be seven cars mm-hmm. or nine cars. It was all cars.
Mm-hmm.
The two brothers that ran the island, that ran the ferry, were private contractors. And as I say, they worked all hours of the day and night to get everybody off and on. And they had a ferry that had a little cabin on the left side. The steering post and everything was, you had to climb a ladder to get up midships.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you climbed up a ladder to get to the steering and everything else up there. And, the two deckhands with Clarence and Ivo were there. There was always water in the passenger side, in the cabin,
mm-hmm.
always washing around. They had a toilet in there, which was open. No toilet flusher.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 5-gallon bucket with a rope on it that you threw over the side and got water from the water and everything, and that's how you flush the toilet. Virginia said, no way, ever. Ruth said, no way, ever.
No way,
huh? So everybody used to hold it until they got to the other side, whatever. But, yeah, the kids all used to go to school. I don't know when you wrote that story about a fairy kid.
Oh, you remember that?
Oh, I still got it. It's in here somewhere, I think. Oh, yeah, you bet.
I remember that poem.
You know what I have of you? Come over here. Come here. I got all the lovely. You are my family. You used to get all this stuff. And a lovely note you wrote and stuff like this. But all the kids. Yeah, I don't have too many kids of what you have now, or your nieces and nephews. But yeah. No, you. Yeah. And the wild one.
And the wild one.
But Asia's so pretty.
Oh, isn't she?
And you, I watched you grow up all the way. Nobody took any more pride in your accomplishments in running and things like that than I did. No, yeah, all there. No, and I got lots of pictures in my on the wall that I haven't been able to put in the book yet. That you gave me. Yeah.
So do you think, as an islander, do you feel like riding the ferry is some sort of ritual? Do you take
Well, I don't know if you call it a ritual rather than a necessity.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, for some people, there's certain things that they do on the ferry that they do every time. You know, they bring out their book, they take their time to sit and just...
Oh, well, that's what you wrote in your poem.
Mm-hmm.
They do their schoolwork. They do this. They do their nails. They do their makeup.
What's riding the ferry for you?
Peace. Quiet, knowing I'll be the... Mostly coming home is when I find peace. When I know I'm getting in line to come home to the ferry, I feel a complete looseness and relaxation to go through him. I love it. From the hospital, when I had my surgery, when Ruth had a surgery, and people coming home, they get their first whiff of the water. It's starting to convalesce right there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like going home. I call it my Garden of Eden, mm-hmm. my paradise. And when I call my people back down south, or in East, I'm sitting looking up on my computer, looking out the window, and describing this wonderful day that we're having out there, the boats going by.
Mm-hmm.
And I send them pictures. I may eat your heart out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they've been here. Most of them have been here. I usually put them up at Annie's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they love it out here.
Do you remember Papa Bear?
Yep, I remember Papa Bear very well, and his wife.
What can you tell me about Papa Bear and Mama Bear?
Well, Papa Bear was a drunk.
Uh-huh.
And he cracked my porch one time. We were digging out the septic tank over there for him, the drain field.
Uh-huh.
Remember, Bob used to send him up here, or Tom. I don't remember who he was working for at the time. I think he started out with Bob. I don't know what was wrong with him, but I guess you can call him a bear. Luana, his wife, she died of a cancer,
mm-hmm.
and she was the island committee woman for register for elections and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she ran a little dairy store on the side, stuff like that. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. I remember going. And getting popsicles when I
was there. Yeah, and that's she had all that stuff over there, down there, milk and eggs and all that stuff.
I remember Mom would go get milk and eggs and I'd get a popsicle from her.
There was a guy that worked, another thing, there was a guy that worked at a dairy farm off the island. He used to go home every evening. And he'd always have fresh eggs that he got from the hens, and the feathers are still on.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd sell them for about 25 cents a dozen or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And he used to give them to a lot of people. And he used to bring them just for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he brought any other thing, cheese or eggs, but or milk. But I remember him bringing the eggs in. The island store, when they first built it, you know, the people that took it over, one after another,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't handle it and stuff like that.
So when did they build the store exactly?
I think it was 66 through 67 when they built the Riviera. That was the...
Uh-huh.
And the first real estate office was at the Riviera Clubhouse,
uh-huh.
you see, Ray Park.
Uh-huh.
The house that West lives in, to the left over there, that was the first real estate office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got that done. And they built the gazebo, that restaurant, the clubhouse.
Uh-huh.
And they made offices and all that in there,
mm-hmm.
little cubicles. And then they had an office next door to it. In the house right next door to it. And then they moved, after they sold everything over there, they moved to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was a grocery store, and part of it was a real estate office, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they turned it over to the Riviera, they sold everything in the Riviera for $1, you see.
Huh.
So they could take over the land and everything, and they grandfathered everything they had not sold as lots. Okay, let me tell you what grandfathered. When we put in the underground water system, they put in stuff like that. All of the water mains that go alongside where the fire station is, that became the commercial area,
mm-hmm.
by the county. Nobody else could put any, except the grandfather, which was white, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever else they had over here.
Already.
Not already here. They call it what they call a grandfather clause, you
right.
see. So, the water mains went down there. So those people on both sides did not have to drill a well.
Mm-hmm.
They were allowed to tap into the water mains,
mm-hmm.
but they had to maintain their own lines and pay for the water. You
mm-hmm.
see, but they didn't have to go to the expense of building the well. That's how we got ours first. You see, and my daughter bought a piece of property right adjacent to the fire station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has that grandfather clause in there too, and so does about Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you know, they dug a ditch across to put the water mains in, because it runs down on the right-hand side of the road, going uh-huh. down to the fire station. And then the store, of course, and everything else. And that area that was cleared off the trees and everything else, apparently that's going to build, Jeff Hope, I guess he's going to build on it and build a bigger place eventually. He hates it.
Oh, I know.
I know. He wants to be a counselor. But you know, he told me, he convinced me, I would give this thorn up in a minute if I didn't have a family and be a camp counselor.
Mm-hmm.
He loves that. And he's got such a marvelous way about it. And he's got a great family. It's great.
Yeah, he does.
And all the people that work with him.
He's trying yeah. to pass the store on to me, as a matter of fact.
Well,
he's like, Sarah, do you want to do this for a while?
Oh, God, yeah. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know, so you got to be dedicated to the
so
fact that.
So the store was built in the
1950s. Around that time, and it was, yeah, and then they try to get people to take it in. There was a fellow by the name of Thomas,
uh-huh.
Al Thomas, and his wife Sandy, and that was an odd coincidence. She came from a little town in Canada called Silverdale, where my wife's family came from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she knew my brothers-in-law and everything else. So, and that's when we got together and stuff like that. But he was a conniver.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was an out-and-out crook, what he was. They had all the property divided up into lots and everything else on Riviera. And they were very small, you know. They weren't very big. Most of them were 70 by 120 feet, except for the lake lots, which was a little bigger. The drain field at that time, the requirement was 150 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, no, you're polluting everything, so they raised it to 100. And then they, because of the pollution factor, mm-hmm. stuff like this, that they raised it to 300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that voided the lot next door. They could not build on the lot next door because
right.
it needed 300 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was discouraged. They wanted to sell their property to everybody else. Nobody would buy it because they had the same idea too.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to vacate the lot line in order to buy that lot. And the requirement of the Riviera Covenants, you must pay dues for each and every lot.
Right.
No matter how many you own. No matter the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That was the law. That's what all the fuss is about now. They want to vacate and combine the lots and not pay the dues,
mm-hmm.
which will be the end of Riviera. So Thomas' mother-in-law, Sandy's mother, had a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't know about this other extension, but he sold it a lot. He sold that lot to her,
uh-huh.
and he built her out of all that money, and she had to buy the other lot in order to put a house in Rainfield.
To his own mother-in-law? So how did his crookiness affect his business?
Nobody knew, you know, very few people knew about it. You know.
Yeah, but...
I knew about it because Sandy told me she was so mad at him and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And he was a jerk, and he was a tire salesman up there in Silverdale, in Canada. So they went back there, I guess, eventually. But he was a bum. He was a sharp crook, you know, uh-huh. shrewd, shyster.
So after him?
Who the hell had him? Then a school teacher and his wife, what was her name, Colleen, he worked for school and he went, and they both took over the store.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute he got in the store and all the girls were ogling him and stuff like that, he went and shacked up with a whole bunch of them and she divorced him, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she met a guy on the boat who was one of the deckhands, and they got together and they went to Alaska.
Well then.
And then she come back here and went up to somewhere where Roy is, somewhere where they operate the horse farm or something like
uh-huh.
that up there. Colin, he's a very nice girl. But everybody got screwed up. And let's see who after him. And Jenny Waters worked there for a long time when Jeff took over, you see.
Uh-huh.
Now, in between Jeff and this other guy, there was there may have been nobody else but Jeff when he took that over. When Billet brought him out, Billet and Kay White
uh-huh.
and Jeff formed a partnership. You
mm-hmm.
see. Well, Jeff's been there for a good many years, 15 years? 22 years. Well, I think he was the third one then.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And he fought against it all the time, but he had a wife and two kids and that wonderful little girl. And then there was Jasmine.
Jasmine.
A dog, remember?
I remember Jasmine.
Oh, yeah, he's encased in concrete up there or something. So that's the thing, how that thing evolved. Anyway. when we were working on the fire department, there was a, what the hell is the name of that guy that took over the ferry system, worked for Tom Palmer, and they went on strike and Tom fired him.
He was
in love. They were both in love with the girl that had the real estate office up there. They lived out of Gig Harbor somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And but when they, let's see, the first office was a demo office, which was the building next door to the store, mm-hmm. where BJ has it.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that as a demonstration building, a house, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved in there with the fire department
mm-hmm.
before we built the station. So I had all the stuff that Riviera had given me on the desks and all the furniture, and I had to store it up in there, you see,
uh-huh.
until we built the station. and it was really something. Yeah. And we had one guy, what the hell was his name? He lived down at Riviera. Who came to all our fire meetings and absolutely defied us to make him vote for the levy. I'm not voting for it. Okay. I said, okay, you're fine. And Bill something around. One day we had a fire in his attic,
mm-hmm.
a chimney fire. And Jim Ray and I went down, we went up in the attic and got it cleared up, and everything and brought it down. And we were coming down and we were cleaning out the chimney and all that stuff over, and he walked out and he said, I still ain't voting for you. His first name was Bill. He died, and he was a really great guy. And anyway, when we opened the bids on the fire station, we awarded it to Thomas, which was the lowest bidder. And Cooley was very mad at us about that because they wanted that thing all the way. It was almost going to kill me. Anyway, he got the bid to build a schoolhouse, the new schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I watched them like a hawk, you know. They were not the very, they were pretty unscrupulous.
Mm-hmm.
And so they knew I was watching them all the time and stuff like that. So we became pretty good enemies, but then we became friends after that. And Dale died out there in the water. He had a heart attack out there, his son. Anyway, we got the fire station built and everything was fine. And little by little, we increased the stuff. And I'm going to have to take a break. Can I come back tomorrow?
Well, actually. No. We'll go ahead and stop now.